Hi, and welcome to Newscast, episode number 65, the one after Nintendo 64. And I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and to start off the show, I'm going to say my thoughts about the Nintendo 64 and whatever the guys missed. Then the guys would be Mike Sklenz.
Hello.
Scott Thompson.
Hello.
And Zachary Miller.
Boogity boogity.
So you guys barely mentioned GoldenEye. That seemed kind of suspect.
Yeah.
And you didn't really mention Rare at all, which, I mean, pretty big parts.
It's weird. We definitely had some kind of weird niche going on with the kinds of games we were talking about for some reason.
Well, it was great,
but
too.
But we didn't know it at the time.
It's true, and what's great, too, is every game that we brought up, like, the other two, were like, oh, yeah, I remember that, and then we would just rattle on about it for 5 or 10 minutes and then move on. There's a whole subsect of games we just completely missed.
Yeah, so go back to last episode and listen to that. do that, because I actually haven't done that either yet, so. But I'm just going to, before we get to the news and eShop goodness, I kind of want to take a moment to mention some of the weirder games, I guess, that I enjoyed as a young N64 playing kid, such as Buck Bumble, which is made by Argonaut Software, aka
I do not remember this game.
Yeah, Buck Bumble, it was published by Ubisoft and developed by Argonaut Software, who are the guys, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they originally make Star Fox? Right.
I don't know.
That's a thing that happened.
That's one of those tricky things where it was like co-developed, and the Nintendo's name is the only one that ends up on the final product.
But anyway, Buck Bumble is this kind of you control a bee, but it's kind of like the bee's a ship,
right?
And you go around in a 3D environment. And it wasn't really a great game. Like, you would have these cool missiles, and there was a weird multiplayer mode that was a soccer game where you controlled one person would control a bee and the other person would control a bee, and you try to use guns and weaponry to shoot the soccer ball into the other guy's goal.
Nice.
Which was kind of weird. But the best part about this, and whoever's editing this, I already have your work cut out for you, there's a rap song that opens up the game.
Oh, yeah. This is
probably the most...
This is my week, so yeah, I'll see if I can track it down. See if I can track that down.
Buck to the bee, to the bee, to the bum. Buck to the bee, Bumble.
What about now? It's time to rock with the biggity buck, Bumble. Bum to the bum, to the bum, to the bass. Bum to the bum, to the Bumble. Bum to the bum, to the bum, to the bass. Bum to the bum, to the Bumble. Bum to the bum, to the bum, to the bass. Bum to the bum, to the Bumble. Bum to the bum, to the bum, to the bass. Bum to the bum, to the
Wow. Listen, you don't even need... Just get, like, a beat, like a sequencer beat, and just put that behind Neil. Done.
Oh. But there is even better things about that song. Like, it goes on for, like, a minute and a half, and then it just loops.
There we go. Yeah, I will make this happen. You will see.
Yeah, it was one of those games where it really isn't a great game, but it's just, like, that the charm of it is why I played it as a kid. And the other games, as I really dug the Goemon games that came out, Mystical Ninja starring Goemon and Goemon's Great Adventure, both from Konami. And I guess the first one, which was pretty much a Mario 64 ripoff, and the second one was like a side-scrolling game, and they both have that super weird sense of humor. Like, the villain in the first one are like two like Broadway people who want to make the world sing, and it just... super weird, and of course there's a dirty old man, as in most of these Japanese things. It's been years since I played these games, but I recommend them for anyone that ever missed them. It's a pity that they're not on Virtual Console, although Legend of the Mystical Ninja is, which was actually the first Goemon game to come stateside, but there's really no reference to it being about Goemon other than that's what it is in Japan, because they're called, like, it's... Goemon and Ibisamaru are called Kid Ying and Dr. Yang for some reason, because I guess Ying and Yang was a good enough Japanese stereotype for Konami to put into a localized American game.
I like that Neil's list is already, like, the complete opposite of ours.
It's very true.
I seem to recall there being a lot of Mario 64 clones on the...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Rare pretty much did for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, just... Did us had more Baphomets.
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, even to an extent Jet Force Gemini.
There's some more silly animal noises in a video game that I love, in Banjo-Kazooie and Tootie.
Yeah.
To this day, I call every useless pickup item in every video game, I call them all Baphomet Dads because of fucking Star Fox 60, or not Star Fox,
Star
Dinosaur
Fox
Planet.
Adventures.
Yeah. And then the last game that I had for my kind of off-kilter list was the Ken Griffey games that Nintendo made.
Yes.
I guess it was Angel Studios. I don't really know what the hell happened to them.
What did happen to them?
They just basically made two Griffey games for N64 and dropped off the face of the earth.
They were decent games too, right?
Yeah, those like, in all honesty, like I think last summer I actually played a lot of this Griffey game that came out in like 1997 on N64, and it still holds up. It also helps that that was the time where I was the most into baseball, so I know like every player on every team.
Yeah, I don't even like baseball at all, and I remember renting that and just playing the hell out of it with friends.
Yeah, it's just such a solid game, and it's a very Nintendo baseball game. And it makes me so, so sad.
Very that, Nintendo baseball game.
Yeah, that Nintendo Pennant Chase baseball never came out, because that game was done, and it never came out.
Yeah, game was done.
Yeah, I actually tried to contact people who were at the developer, and they just got really pissed off at me, because they're like, it was fucking awesome, and Nintendo never released it. Can we talk about shit that actually came out? I was just like, whoa. Sorry I asked. I want to play it. Do you have it somewhere?
Why don't they open... around? They should open source it or something. Put it on GitHub. Done.
Can you give me a disc? Just me, please?
Yeah. Actually, do you guys know for sure that there's not a ROM dump somewhere of it?
I don't know. I mean...
I wouldn't be I've surprised. Never really
And off to the internet.
Yeah.
And, all right, the show's
yeah,
over.
Sorry, guys, we gotta
see
go.
If this game exists. I mean, the only shitty thing about that is I think, like, the Boston Red Sox, David Ortiz was going to be on the cover or something, but I'm a Yankees fan.
Okay. That's that burns.
Yeah.
I looked up Argonaut Games, by the way, and they did develop a prototype that became Star Fox, and they actually are the reason the Super FX chip even exists.
Yeah.
They said that, yeah, that they needed more power, so Nintendo said, okay,
we can actually
make
kind
something.
Of tie this into news, because there was an Iwata Ooh. Asks about Star Fox 64 3D. Because Dylan Cuthbert, who now heads up Q Games, who they developed Star Fox 64 3D, but they also, Dylan Cuthbert is responsible for the Super FX chip, because I guess him and the guys at Argonaut made this game called X, which was a Game Boy game that had a 3D engine running on the Game Boy. There's also a DSiWare game that was made by Q Games called Xscape, which is kind of a sequel to that and takes a lot of what that game was about and makes it into a cool DSiWare game.
Hmm.
Very, very much worth checking out. I think it's $8. But what happened was, like, Dylan Cuthbert was like 18 years old going to Kyoto and was in a room with 30 some odd Nintendo executives that were all fascinated by this thing that he made. And then he wound up helping them make the Super FX chip in Star Fox. And I mean, now he's making Star Fox again.
That's wild. And for anyone interested in trivia, the code name for the Super FX chip was the Mario chip. So
there you go.
Use that one to get laid at your local bar.
Yeah.
Should work.
Did you know that the
Should
Super
work.
FX chip... What the hell is the Super FX chip? It's Mario.
It looks, guys, by the way, it looks like you may be able to obtain Pennant Chase Baseball somewhere on the internet.
Nice.
Nice.
Now all you need is a little miniature CD to burn it to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could always burn it to a regular CD and put it in a Wii.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mike's getting ideas now.
Yeah.
If only I cared about baseball games.
I'm just real curious, because, I mean, Nintendo baseball games are generally very good, unless they're made by Namco Bandai.
Right.
Or involved.
But that
Mario.
Almost goes with most Nintendo games. Because if they're made by Namco Bandai, usually there's something a little off. Like, there's no season mode in a baseball game.
But Neil, I mean, a season is over 100 games. Who really has time for that many games?
Yeah.
You really want
to
play that
many? You
just
need to have your little Mario thing where, like, you go around and play each team once.
There you go.
And then it's over. And then there's no reason to ever play the game again.
Right. Make it more like a football season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you get a stupid games. Ending sequence.
There's not even
a
Super Bowl.
Series of illustrations.
Like... All right. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about the Nintendo 64?
Baphomet Dads.
Well, I was talking earlier about how I rented Kirby 64 when I was younger, like around the time it came out. I don't remember what year it came out, but I guess I was probably in middle school. And I played it, like, I started playing it, like, one night at, like, 7 at night, and I played it straight through until, like, 4 in the morning. And I beat it, like, 100%. I may have been missing, like, 5 or so of the hidden stars, and if I got them, like, after I went to bed and woke up 5 hours later.
Nice.
I really enjoyed that game. I never played it through until I got it on a virtual console, but I always thought that was a very good game.
Excellent game.
It's easy. Like, I didn't really have any problems dropping.
I think about Kirby games. And I also like the multiplayer in that game a lot, because there's the one where, it's almost kind of like Monkey Fight in a way, in that you go around. Well, I guess it's not really like Monkey Fight, except for that, like, the floor drops under you.
Oh, yeah.
but like, you basically just, like, you shoot out these things that will make the floor go down, and you try to catch the other people. So that way they fall down, but it's very fun. And then there's, like, a bullshit, like, racing one.
The only other game I think we really didn't touch on that I thought we probably should is Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah, that's a great game.
That really is.
Wasn't that, like, $70 or something when it came out?
I don't know.
Wasn't it on one of those 512 megabit cartridges?
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, you're right. I'm pretty sure.
I really wanted to get it the day it came out, but unfortunately I was under the age of 17, and it was an uphill battle trying to get my parents to, like, they didn't get it. They were like, why do you need me here? We'll buy you the South Park game, but why do you, what? I got it used a couple years later for probably $15, so it was probably for the best.
And now it's on really Xbox, right? Game. Now it's remade on Xbox.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, really they did do that.
Xbox. It's censored.
Really? Oh,
My favorite thing about that game is the fact that seeing early screenshots for it in Nintendo Power, it was going to be like a Mario 64 clone. It was like all cheerful and just like happy. And then they were like, no, let's try something different. And they just scrapped it and just made it crude.
I like, it's wonderful. It's really smart. I mean, it's as far as with the humor, like, it has a lot of good movie references throughout it.
There's talking poop monsters.
There are. Yeah. With corn
and
for
it
teeth.
Sings opera.
Yep.
He does.
Yeah, no, that's
I don't think I ever beat that game.
Do you remember there was supposed to be a Game Boy Color game?
There was a Game Boy Color game.
And it's really, like, happy.
Oh.
Yeah,
it came out a couple years prior.
I thought it was scrapped.
Well, even remember, wasn't Conker in Diddy Kong Racing? And he's not a drunk...
Yeah, I'm Conker.
He's not a drunk asshole on that one, right? He's just a normal, happy squirrel, so...
It was after he had the fame, then he was just like, screw this.
Oh, that's right, yeah, isn't that supposed to be... Yeah, he's sitting on his throne in the opening of the game, that's right, yeah. He's supposed to become jaded and cold.
Yeah, I mean, that game starts off with a reference to A Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Like...
Yeah. That's pretty, impressive. I just remember the end, too.
Had that Matrix bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a whole level that used that, didn't it? Where you're jumping around and stuff.
And I remember the final boss is, like, Alien.
I was going to say, the Aliens reference at the end. Yeah, that was a good game.
Isn't that more of a Contra reference?
Well, no, it doesn't even say, like, get away from her, you bitch, or something. Or
He and I think the alien's name is Heinrich.
And that was their last game on the system, wasn't it?
It was one of the last ones.
One of the system's last games, period.
Yeah.
Because I think it early 2001 or maybe 2000, I'm not sure.
That sounds right.
After that, Rare went on to do such great things as Perfect Dark Zero and Ghosts and Galleries.
Yeah, but they did Viva Pinata, and a lot of people like that game.
Yeah, Viva Pinata is very good.
All right.
I've never played Viva Pinata or...
Either. I had a friend addicted to it in college.
Or Lauren got really into it. And Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts was fun, too.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I never played either of those, but recently my fiancée, she works for Verizon, and she was at, like, some conference, and there's, like, an Xbox phone now, you know, and they had, like, this, like, double disc that, like... set with both those games, like, on one... Well, I guess it's a single disc. It's both those games on one disc, and we got it. We haven't opened it yet. I don't know if I'm going to sell it or just, like, actually play the games.
It's Viva Pinata and Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah,
it's totally worth trying them out.
Okay, yeah.
Because, in all honesty, I hate to break it to you, if you sold that, you wouldn't get much for it.
Well, that's how I felt. Cheap. I figured I wouldn't get much, but I just didn't know if I should even bother.
They think they had that packed in with Xboxes for a while, like the family bundle.
Okay.
Probably just had a bunch of leftovers that they're now using as promotional.
And Viva Pinata does have that really kind of quirky, rare humor, because it's kind of like you are raising these pinatas to die. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. The goal is to send them off so they're beaten to death.
Cool.
There was a Penny Arcade about that a long time ago that made me laugh.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. But, like, it's not like that's, like, a thing that's hidden. Like, it's a thing that happens in the game. And there's, like, these, like, evil pinatas that will come and try to kill your guys. And then, like, they'll break into candy and other pinatas will eat it.
It's, like, yeah, oddly
it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I do remember Lauren was playing it, and, like, we had this, like, I don't know, I think some of the, there's, like, a fudge hog and stuff like that. But she there was, like, you know, whatever pinata, and we gave him, like, a little Indiana Jones hat and named him Indiana. And then he got eaten, and she tried to turn off the system, so, you know, he wouldn't be dead, but he was still dead. So then, like, no other pinata was ever named. Didn't want to get too attached.
Yeah, you can't get attached, that's true.
But the sequel's not as good.
Okay.
It's different.
Oh, there's okay, a yeah. sequel? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll have to open this up.
I think that's it for N64 stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's go on.
I was just going to say real quick, Mischief Makers is awesome. I completely forgot about that until you said it.
Treasure made that other good game, Sin and Punishment, that we didn't get until Wii, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think of that as a N64 game. I forgot about it.
Yeah, it's like a WiiWare game, basically.
Yeah.
Shake, shake. But
yeah, Mischief Makers is awesome. Shake, shake.
It's really hard. It actually doesn't... I have it. It doesn't really look good anymore. It looks pretty shitty.
Oh, yeah, the graphics are pretty awful, but it's still a really good game.
Yeah. I kind of wish somebody would remake it with modern, you know, sprite graphics.
Yeah. Well, I would assume Treasure would own that IP.
Oh, I assume so, yeah. It's strange they never went back to it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll make a shitty Xbox Live Arcade version of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just thinking that, yeah.
With HD shitty sprite graphics.
They're doing it with Bangaio and, well, Radiant Silvergun is just straight up coming out on it.
Huh.
So that's cool.
That's pretty cool. That's a game a lot of people want to play.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the news. And we don't really have too much of it. It's pretty slow after the megaton that was the 3DS price drop. But we did get some news about Call of Duty. There was a lot of speculation pretty much before this week. I mean, not that people really care too much about Call of Duty on Nintendo platforms, but as a Nintendo website, this is of mild interest to us. At E3, Aaron actually found at the PDP booth, they're the guys who make the Headbanger headset, which is a headset that you can use to talk online with games that support the Headbanger headset. And they had alongside their newest version, there was a mention of Modern Warfare 3 on Wii. And now we got confirmation from Activision that is a thing. It's going to be developed by Treyarch, and it's actually going to be an original game. Or at least maybe it'll be like a side story, have some basis on the story of Modern Warfare 3 on the consoles, but it's Treyarch is making a different game than what is being made on 360 and PS3.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the past couple have been, I mean, with the exception of Modern Warfare Reflex, the other ones have been pretty much straight ports. Albeit in one case, a game 2 years later. But so this might be the first original Call of Duty Wii game, technically.
Cool.
But, I mean, they're generally very solid. It's just that usually the 360 PS3 versions are much, much more solid.
Right.
For people that are into that sort of thing.
It's surprising there's no 3DS version.
Yeah, there is a DS version made by Zach's best friends at Nspace. They are making Call of Duty... Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Defiance is what it's called.
Those guys... Nspace is making that?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are like wizards on the DS.
Yeah, I think this is their fifth DS Call of Duty game.
Then they've done a bunch of DS shooters. I remember I was at E3 a different year, the year that they were like trying to resurrect GoldenEye as like what was it
yeah,
like Perfect
Agent
or something? Yeah, Rogue Agent.
They also
Agent.
Did GoldenEye and Bloodstone DS
well,
last year.
Well, the funny
both
thing
of
is that
kind
of
good.
I was out there and EA released like GoldenEye. What's the name of it?
Rogue Agent.
Rogue Agent, and like. We talked to the guys there, and they were like, well, you know, we're kind of working on this game, but we've been getting a lot of help, like a lot of help from Nspace. Like, one of the developers was telling me personally that they were not getting the job done, like, at EA, and that, Nintendo was like, this is, like, an important property to us, because GoldenEye is really, you know, is like a touchstone in the hearts of Nintendo gamers. So we want to make sure this new version on the DS is going to be good. It's got to be good. And you guys aren't, like, pulling your fucking weight or whatever. So they called Endspace and they were like, take over this project. We need it to be really good.
I don't think it was really good, but I don't think it's Endspace's fault why the game was in it.
Well, but that was also the first DS shooter that they had done, too.
Yeah, and I mean, they've done five, because they did Call of Duty 4, they did, like, one for World at War, they did one for Modern Warfare 2, they did one last year, and this is their fifth one, and, I mean, they're adding a lot to it. It's just that, I mean, in my opinion, they all seem kind of the same, and if you're into them, that's great. It's like Madden. It's like, you know, if you're into Madden, you care about every yearly, the annualized release, but if
you'll
pay
EA $25.
Yeah.
Extra for some other features.
I mean, but that also goes with the Call of Duty games, and honestly, they don't really appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
So, for better or worse.
Yeah, they haven't appealed to me since the first Call of Duty Modern Warfare. After that, I just didn't care.
That no 3DS version, that's not good news for 3DS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I see the logic in that the DS version is playable on both.
That's the problem with a lot of the 3DS.
Yeah, it is.
Backwards compatibility actually kind of bit him in the ass this time.
Yeah, because the DS is still so successful, so why would you want to cut off the market that's way bigger?
Right. Indeed.
But, I mean, I don't think that's like the 100% official reason, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the business decision.
It's making it easy for developers to lag behind and wait for the 3DS to take off.
Yeah. I was gonna say, Nintendo didn't like make the 3DS cartridge the same size as the DS cartridge, if that would have been possible. Just so you know, maybe there'd be a way where you could have like a DS version and then like a 3D enhanced version, like on the same little cart.
Or at least
the 3D visuals would just get turned off, you know, if you're playing on the regular DS.
But then no one would buy a 3DS.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, it's not like Activision isn't totally not supporting the 3DS, although they're not really doing as much as I thought, because really all they've done, I think they released Transformers on 3DS, which was fucking awful.
Surprise.
They're also doing the Spider-Man game is coming to 3DS, which, as far as I know, is more or less like a dual-screen port of the game on Wii and 360 and PS3.
Right, you're right.
But yeah, I mean, it sucks, but, you know, Endspace is doing a good thing with those DS games, and Treyarch has been making consistently good Call of Duty games on Wii, so it's a win-win for those people.
That's true.
And as far as win-win for us 3DS owners, we have to make sure that we've all connected to the eShop, guys.
Is that all?
Of you hear this? If you haven't connected to the eShop, you're fucked.
And that's all it takes, right? That's all I gotta do, because I've done it 100 times.
Yeah. When does the price switch go into effect?
Yes.
August 12th.
And, okay, what day is this coming out?
Saturday. the 13th.
What's today, the 9th?
I think it's the
13th, so Friday. We'll be a day late.
Oh, okay, so this will be late.
The 12th. On the 12th, you get the games if you've done it by midnight.
Right,
on
but
11th.
This episode is coming up.
Well, you won't get the games on the 12th.
Oh, you won't?
No, but I was wondering because I was going to spread the news that Walmart has already discounted the price on the system, so you could buy it for the new price at Walmart today and get all the free games.
Yeah.
As long as you connect with them like the next week.
But if you heard
this,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope you did that. One of my friends did. Today.
Well, then we had a news story about it on the site, didn't we? I'd imagine if people listen to this, they followed the site, hopefully.
We can only
hope.
Well, you know, this doesn't come out till Saturday, so we can always put the news story up. And they won't know the wiser.
That's true.
As long as Scott edits this out of the podcast.
Done. Done.
So Kirby and the Amazing Mirror might be it's very likely to be one of the ambassador games for GBA.
That'd be awesome.
Those are all coming out before the end of the year.
That's, I think, the only one of the announced ones so far that I haven't played.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, because they have the five other ones that are, those are confirmed. And
no, I didn't play Mario Advance 4 Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, but that one might not be in, because what happened
you
was
you played
that
it on the Super Nintendo.
Well, someone wrote into Nintendo Customer Service and got a response back that listed Kirby and the Amazing Mirror and Mario Brothers 3. And then he got contacted by Nintendo of America saying that was incorrect. But
they put the wrong Mario Advance on that email.
our man in Japan, Danny Bivens, was the one who called Nintendo of America customer support. Yeah, I think he's like he's a teacher in Japan, so I think he's off for the month of August or something. But he called and talked to Nintendo customer service, and basically they told him that like it is very, 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 very likely that Kirby and the Amazing Mirror is on the included list. Like, you know, that guy, he was almost 100% positive. He just couldn't 100% confirm it. However, Mario Brothers 3, that could have been a little bit of a, you know, miscommunication with confusing it with Super Mario Advance 3, which is Yoshi's
Island. Yeah, the naming
system
so
confusing.
Was so dumb
yeah.
with that. They messed that up.
Yeah,
I would really hope Mario 3 comes though eventually, and that it has all the E card levels.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Because I never played any of those. I never had the reader, but I've heard about it afterwards, and I hear there's just some crazy like zany stuff that they do with that.
Yeah.
Now that Kirby game's like a Metroidvania game, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually own it, but I haven't really played it. I got it. I went on a Game Boy Advance buying binge like a year or two ago.
Right on.
That sounds That's the one I'm most excited about because I've played, like I said, I played all the others. Though I'm excited to having another version of Metroid Fusion. I love that game.
Yeah, my battery's dead on my copy of Metroid Fusion. So
wow.
I'm excited.
Oh wow, weird.
Dude, Metroid Fusion's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it was a used copy that was beat to hell, and I managed to play through it. And I was near the end, and the battery died. And I was just like, fuck.
That game gets some shit, but it's really good.
It's still a Metroid game.
Yeah, it's a hair more linear, but it's still a Metroid game.
Yeah,
and even though there's you know storyline, Samus isn't like.
There's no thumbs down or thumbs up,
and that's all the difference.
And it has and the exact same storyline as Fusion, and it's better.
Yeah, but the last bit of news that we got is that Twinbee, which is a oh, crap, it's a Konami game.
I
right?
seem to remember it too.
Yeah, it's the 4th 3D.
It's
classic.
A shmup, right?
Yeah.
Shmup.
So they're really into these things where it's a shoot 'em up where there's some kind of layer where
apparently.
You're shooting things on the ground.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It could be good. So it's going to be like Xevious, I guess.
Yeah.
Did anyone get Xevious?
Yeah, I got Xevious. I enjoyed it. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's still... I mean, the only shitty thing is that it's just Xevious. But, I mean, the effect is really cool.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some better games to come out for 3D classics. I haven't been wowed by any
of them. I watched the demo
really.
Video for that one, and it kind of, like, hurt my eyes, so I didn't end up wanting to download it.
I mean, the only problem with 3D classics is that, like, it's not like they're really going for these, like, marquee NES games. It
seems
like,
odd that they're not.
Fucking Excitebike, which, okay, that was really cool in 1986.
Well,
but...
and Excitebike's got a lot of, like, nostalgia value to it, specifically.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Excitebike. And plus, when you're going to offer it up for free, it's great to get for free.
Yeah.
Well, I
would not have
paid money
for that.
I think they're only picking games that they could... really do a good 3D job on. I mean, Super Mario Land's not going to be a
it's
good
not
3D
work.
Game, you know.
Yeah, Mario and Zelda games actually aren't going to be good like that. But so I guess we are going to mostly see action games.
Yeah. And Urban Champion? Like,
Urban Champion, what? Though? Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, I'll give you Twinbee, I'll give you Xevious, you know, shmups do... I mean, Xevious looks really cool in it, and I assume Twinbee will be the same way. But Urban Champion, come on.
Yeah. What is that?
Beat up a dude and then get garbage thrown on your head.
Yeah. I mean, at least could you have, like, thrown us, like, bad dudes? Or at least something, like,
bad
dude brawler? That just
well, it's
going to
be a first-party game, though. It's got to be a first-party
game.
They've
already had half of the 3D classics are not first-party
games. Well, I guess
games.
That's right. I keep thinking that it's going to be exclusive to first-party stuff, but I guess it's not.
Yeah. But, that just about does it for news. So let's move on to the eShop stuff. And I guess I'll talk about, I reviewed it for GamePro, and Andy's should have the review for NWR up soon, but Let's Golf 3D, which is a Game Loft game on 3DS that's basically Let's Golf 2, which was insanely well-received on, you know, the iPhone and iOS and everything. And it's just basically, it's a really solid Hot Shots Golf clone that, unfortunately, on the 3DS, it doesn't have any of the cool online features that it had on iOS.
Because the 3DS doesn't go online, so that makes sense, right?
Yeah, there's no infrastructure for that, so.
Yeah.
But Nintendo Wi-Fi connection!
Yeah,
I don't understand!
Yeah, I mean, you have to download the game. there's no way to not be online and get the game, so why they wouldn't have an online mode is sort of puzzling.
Yeah, but I mean, really, that's my only knock against the game. It's a very... very good golf game, and it's got some shitty load times, but it's a game loft game. I feel like that's nothing any not too surprising, and it's $7, which is a little pricey.
I don't know. I mean, if it's certainly more worth it than a $6 Zevius, you know.
Yeah, I like that we're at the point where $7 is now too expensive for a video game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
thanks,
look at
iPhone.
It. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
But I bet you this same game is like, there's no way it's more than $3
on the
iPhone.
It's $5 on the
five.
iPhone.
Five. Whoa. Big spender.
Okay.
But I mean, that's the thing is that like if you have an iPhone or anything, you can get a better version of the game for $2 cheaper. However, if you just have a 3DS and you want a golf game that you can go to whenever you want.
Does it use a three-click swing?
Yeah.
Good, because I love the three-click swing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't. I mean, you can do the three-click swing, except for by just tapping the touch screen. Other than that, like, everything can be used with the buttons if you really want to. And the 3D effect's kind of nice.
But it's not some bullshit flick the touch screen
no,
with the style
no.
good.
I mean, it's basically, if you use the touch screen, it's the same thing that you're doing with buttons. You're just using a stylus instead of a button.
Gotcha. That's the game I'd actually consider getting. Like,
yeah, I mean,
if I have $7 or whatever it is left over, which I will someday, I'd probably get that.
Yeah, I mean, Andy will have a review up soon. You can read my review over at GamePro. Plug.
I like that every time I buy like a Game Boy game on the 3DS, you're basically paying $5 for the game because you have to put at least $5 on the
right.
account. So I feel like I'm accruing like points, and one day I'm going to be able to redeem these points for another game for free.
That's what I love it. I love it when I like buy something that's like I have like, you know, $3 and change, and there's a $3 Game Boy game. Because I'm just
yeah.
like, oh man, it works out perfectly this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, every like third or fourth game is free.
Yeah,
if you look at it,
that's
way.
Exactly what happened to me this week. Because Neil, which we'll get to in a second, but you kept talking about Picross like all week on Twitter. So I was like, I got to get this, and so I had to put money on my account because I only had like $2. So then I had money left. So then I ended up just getting Donkey Kong and Super Mario Land, even though I didn't really want it.
Oh well, I mean, it's not like you're really
you can't go
yeah.
wrong with Donkey Kong. That game
twisting your fucking
well, yeah, no,
arm. You
that
know,
game
it was two
so
great
fucking
games.
Good.
Donkey Kong, yeah, I definitely wanted. That was on my list too. But then I had just enough left for one more, so I got Super Mario Land, even though I knew I didn't. Yeah. Really
you didn't get,
need
why
it.
Didn't you get Fortified Zone? I don't even know anything about that.
No, Fortified Zone isn't bad. I forgot. I talked about that game on the
few weeks ago. Yeah.
His last show.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
or at least I tried to talk about that game.
No, you did. I remember you vaguely talking about it. It sounded interesting.
Yeah,
but
like I think it's Fortified Zone's $3 or $4, but I mean it's like. Like I think, what did I describe it as? It's like Contra meets Zelda.
Contra meets Zelda meets like some completely random other game.
It was yeah. like a random third
but
thing.
Tetris or something.
No, it wasn't Tetris. But it's basically like you're going around a Zelda dungeon, but you're like a Contra dude.
Right.
So it's like a top-down Contra 3 level?
Kind of.
Huh.
Yeah, because that's
it's pretty
cool.
fucking hard, but it's really cool, and that's one of those games where save states are your best friend.
I love the save state in the Virtual Console. As a yeah. side note, are you guys surprised there haven't been any other Game Boy Color games yet?
Yes.
Like Zelda, no. Link's Awakening, no. right out the gate, and I was like, oh sweet, and then like there's just been nothing.
Well, I'm not surprised because there weren't really that many Game Boy Color games.
Well, I guess that's true.
Oh, there were. No, yeah, all right.
There were a few, but
it is
I mean,
a bit of
like,
a bummer that stuff that supported the Super Game Boy, like Donkey Kong 94,
yeah.
like
yeah.
that element is just completely absent. That's kind of stupid.
I think that does suck, but I'm not really shocked by the absence.
I'm not
of Game Boy
shocked
Color
by
games
it
other
either.
Than
it's
Awakening.
Just bullshit.
But like, really, what other Game Boy Color games are there? There's the Bionic Commando game.
Excellent.
There's actually
game.
One of those.
Oh, that game is so
one
good.
Of the, one of those Griffey games came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Color.
Oh.
But, you know what I'd love to see is a Virtual Console release of Pokemon Yellow.
Oh, that'd
yeah,
be cool.
That would
yeah.
be really cool.
They will
or was
sell
that, was that,
tons of those.
Yeah, that was a Game Boy Color game, wasn't it?
Had Game Boy Color compatibility.
Where he added yeah. some color. Yeah, that's right.
Because there were some games that, like I think Link's Awakening was like that, too. Maybe,
no, it's just where, that like, one dungeon. There was a special dungeon yeah. that you could only get into if you had a color Game Boy.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even, like, a hard code in the system. It was like, you had to be able to decipher this panel, and like give him this code, but it was in color.
Right.
So you could, if you didn't have a color screen, you couldn't see
That's right, and because all the puzzles in the dungeon too are based off the colors. Like you have to like get all these different colors matching.
So you might be able to like guess the combination of like what is it like red, green, blue, purple, or whatever.
Yeah.
And like get into the dungeon, but there's it would probably murder you to actually try and finish it without a color screen.
What's great too is at the very end, when you get through the dungeon, it's like, you know, take the blue. I don't know. There's two different things you can take for either more damage or more health, but they're based on color too.
And blue and so, red.
Yeah, you just wouldn't even know what you're taking. I don't think.
Of course, there's Shantae, Game Boy Color game. Hope that gets there someday.
Yeah. I think that will come in time, but I think we'll have to wait a little while.
I do too.
Because unfortunately, Nintendo's modus operandi right now is just to take as long as they fucking can with the trickle of these releases.
While their system struggles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to jump the gun on Mario's Picross, but it's we're going right into Mike and I going head-to-head.
I think
the Virtual Console output, where I wish there was more, I still think there are a lot of great games on it. I mean, I wish there were more.
It's a lot? But maybe, there are a handful
total. At least
total.
One a week.
Yeah,
but it's not so much.
It is at least one a week. If there should not a week should not go by without one of those.
I mean, it just I feel like you can tell what Nintendo is doing with this. Is I guess it's maybe they quote unquote learned from the Wii Virtual Console, where with that, you know, early on you'd have like three Virtual Console games a week,
right?
And then they ran out, and everyone got pissed off.
But they didn't run out. They just got lazy. They stopped doing
it. So from the start here, they decided just to not give you anything at all.
Yeah,
I guess they're already at that level. So
or maybe they'll ramp it up later when actually more people have the system.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
But I mean, if you think about that, if you have a week where like say five Virtual Console games come out, then would you really consider, you know, getting something like, you know, Fortified Zone if you have all these other games coming out?
I certainly don't think. I think that's probably too much a week. But bare minimum, there ought to be at least one game a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Nintendo's slow trickle.
Not only did we... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think Nintendo's slow trickle about it. And we did have those 2 weeks where I think Xevious and Nintendo Video came out one day.
Yeah.
And then the next week was Let's Golf.
Right.
And at the very least, we definitely shouldn't have two consecutive weeks without a virtual console game. And I don't care if 1 week there was a 3D classic. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Virtual console
game,
you shouldn't be able to miss more than one a month.
Do you want to know the really funny thing about Let's Golf 3D as well? Is that Game Loft was told the game was coming out on August 11th.
Really?
Really.
If you're keeping score at home, that's this week. And Let's Golf 3D came out 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
So I emailed them the day it came out. We're just like, yo, your game came out. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm downloading it right now.
It's so exciting.
They're like, what the hell?
The 12th is the day the price drops, and that's a Saturday or a Friday.
Friday.
So, the 16th, the 18th, the next Thursday, better be a blockbuster week for the eShop.
Oh yeah,
that's
it.
A good
needs
point.
To be. They need to drop something big and fat on
actually,
it.
Actually, Metroid
that 2.
That might speak to why you haven't seen.
Yeah, they need to put out Metroid 2 that day.
Metroid 2 DX that they canceled.
Oh yeah,
they were going to make a DX version.
They're not
going to
do
2.
That.
No,
but we can hope.
A girl can dream.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, that's the one, like, okay, I could see, you know, maybe they're not going to do it in the beginning of August. Maybe it does make more sense to wait until after the price drop to release something that's a little more marquee, like Metroid 2. But if Metroid 2 doesn't get released in August, the 25th fucking anniversary of Metroid, come on.
That's true.
I think they're ignoring
you
Metroid
care so
first.
Much about Zelda. Come
yeah,
on.
Metroid's getting the shaft hard this year.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Twitter. There was a Twitter from Nintendo America, and they said, hey, it's Nintendo's 25th anniversary, or Metroid's 25th anniversary this month. You can download Metroid Fusion if you're an ambassador.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and you could download
it in
November.
Only the true believers are allowed to celebrate Metroid's 25th anniversary with a free copy of Metroid Fusion.
Dicks.
Yeah, they're kind of treating Samus kind of poorly these days.
Yeah, because they care so much about Link. There's a 25th anniversary thing. They're gonna have a fucking symphony. Like, screw it, man.
They're giving out
free Metroid
games?
Metal to a tour.
Yeah, they're giving out free games. Like, we're all getting Four Swords for free.
Yep.
Yeah, that's September.
They're coming out with a special Wii remote. I mean, Metroid gets shit.
Yeah. That's true. Well, it's because Other M didn't sell that well.
If they released a 3DS, like a custom Metroid 3DS,
I would
sell my 3DS and rebuy that one. That's how much I would want it.
Hey, maybe for the 25th anniversary, they'll give away copies of Other M because they must just be in a warehouse.
That's one of the only first-party Nintendo games that I have seen the price drop like such a rock.
Me too. I saw it for $20.
I loved Other M. Don't get me wrong. Like I, you know, the story's stupid, but the game was a lot. Like I had a blast with that game.
I saw it for $20 at Target
by Christmas.
Yeah. Not long after.
Yeah, maybe they'll just send copies of that to all the people like early Wii adopters. They'll just track us down now and send it to us.
You probably missed this game.
I was going to say, too.
Here's something to play on your dying console.
Mike, to your point of nothing getting released on the eShop, at least not many things at a time, I think they don't want to release more than one or two things at a time because it's impossible to find anything in that shop now.
Definitely.
I know what I'm looking for, and it still takes me like 5
awful.
Minutes. Like, I was hoping that when I started a new job last week, yay, that just means I don't have as much time to screw around and play video games, so I've just been playing Mario's Picross. But I went to go download that during lunch last week, and it took me like 5 fucking minutes to find it. I'm so pissed.
The only way to navigate the eShop that I can really find effective is to just go to recent editions, and it just shows you things chronologically in the date, in the order they were added. So if you check it every week, then you know, like, oh, when I get to a certain title, that means everything past here is old because I remember that from last week.
Very kind of them not to make that the default view or anything, or to make that like the first icon that you're on when you boot the thing up.
Yeah,
so
that's the only way I navigate it.
Well, they just need to show you Nintendo Video.
Yeah, it's important.
You don't have to go to
pizza delivery, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I watched that pizza cartoon today. That wasn't awful.
I thought Bear Shark was kind of funny.
I fucking loved Dinosaur Office. I fucking thought that shit was so funny.
It was okay.
I'm glad that College Humor is doing stuff for it. I mean, I still can't say that it's like the... I mean, it's like Nintendo Video is still kind of lame, but I'm glad College Humor is doing stuff for
it. And guys, Smurfs trailer, so...
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go. But yeah, and I love
seeing that day one.
I love the shop too. Like yeah, like you were saying, Zach, the channels change like every week. So it's like all of a sudden there'll be like a zombie games channel, and it's just like what? Yeah. Like why do I need a?
They're trying to make it like the App Store on the iPhone, where like at the top there's like 4 highlight boxes, and those highlight boxes lead to a specific game or an app or like a list of like these are our favorite camping apps or something.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a blatant ripoff of that, except the interface blows because it's in this giant like line, and it's everything's in order, and you can't jump from point A to point Q.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's not even is it even on the touchscreen or is it on the top screen? No, it's on the touchscreen.
It's on the touchscreen.
Well, at least it's on the touchscreen. But yeah, it's just a mess. The first week when there was just like Link's Awakening and Super Mario Land and like one or two other things,
you didn't notice.
I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like this looks much better than like the Wii, you know, shop looks. And then after 2 weeks, I was just like, no, this isn't working. This is awful.
Yeah, I haven't really been able to get quite on the anger that I was. We had a staff meeting for plugging a feature on the site, the SNES 20 that we have running right now. We had a staff meeting for that. And near the end of that meeting, I basically just went off on the eShop. I haven't been able to really tap into that anger since then, but I just think it's the most stupidest design thing ever. The only thing worse than that is the DSi shop.
Yes.
So the eShop looks like it's incredible compared to its terrible predecessor, but...
Well, at least there's progress, I guess.
The DSi shop.
Come to think of
it,
the Wii Shop channel is pretty fucking horrible, too.
Yeah. Yep. The DSi shop is the wingman.
Yeah. I do feel like, I mean, the Wii Shop, at least, like, I feel like it's workable. It's hard to find things, but it's workable.
It's true.
At least the 3D, at least the eShop has the search function, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes all the difference.
But it's still, I feel like the big problem with the eShop is that you need to know what you're looking for. There's really no easy way to browse that.
Oh,
which is funny, because that's what they've tried to do. You can see all of it is an attempt to categorize things so people will browse them. And it's just... I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I feel like if I was a casual...
Also, maybe because their categories are fucking retarded.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they change all the time.
Here are 30 notebook apps, because that's what everyone wants on their fucking Game Boy.
Yeah.
Game Boy Office? Game Boy Office? Does anyone remember Game Boy Office?
No.
Some guys, like, it was like a productivity software. They released it because a lot of businessmen had Game Boys because they would play them on airplanes. And some guys made, like, a really super bare-bones, like, spreadsheet program for it.
That's awesome.
Huh. When I had to download Antipole, I had to go back to that DSiWare shop and friggin' blew.
Yeah. How is I mean, I've played it as well, but we may as well talk about that. Zach, Antipole.
Dude, I like it. You seem to like it. It is a very simplistic platformer. You jump, shoot, and switch gravity from down to up. And it's
but you can only do it for a limited
only
amount
for
of
a limited
time.
Amount
so
of time yeah.
It's not like VVVVVV, where you can switch between up and down, and you just stay
it's
that
way.
It's
more like Beautiful Joe's slow-mo power, where it's and it builds back up.
Yeah.
And the more bosses you beat, the longer longer you can stay up. But then they just use that to make tougher puzzles.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that at the beginning, like when you I think you get the ability to, switch gravity and get a gun.
Yep.
It seemed like you were going to get power ups throughout the game, and then that kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So
those are the only two things you get.
It would be a little more than just puzzle based levels, and
you know what's funny about that? The instruction manual implies that you get multiple weapons that you can switch between.
Well, what you can do. Get the guys Saturnine Games.
Yep, Saturnine.
I think are the people who made this. They made another game for DSiWare called Cosmos X2, and if you own that game,
uh-huh.
then you unlock other weapons.
Oh,
so that's how you can switch
that's
weapons.
Dirty.
Is it? Have you played that?
No, I think it's a shooter.
Oh,
maybe like Ikaruga.
It sounds like a shooter. Just the name.
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
I won't be
Cosmos X2. I hear it's not bad. Okay. In all honesty, that's the thing. Is like I'm not too wowed by Antipole, but that's more because I've played other games on DSiWare that are platformers that I think are way better. Like for example, I like Divergent Shift a lot.
Mm.
There's Chronos Twins, even Shantae, although that's a little bit different.
Now I will say that Antipole gets really hard really fast.
Yeah,
like stupid hard.
I would basically say it's the kind of game that. They're on the right track. It's a good
definitely.
Start for what I assume is a younger company. And I think if they, hopefully, people are buying this game and they can continue making games because I could see their next release being a lot better.
I'd even like to see an Antipole 2, but a little more fleshed out.
Yeah.
Because
it's not quite on the level of a Meat Boy or a VVVVVV, but it's close.
What I like about it is that there's no end to content. There's the main game, and there's hard mode, and there's challenge levels, and there's, green tokens to find each stage, and a goal time to make in each stage, and it's just crazy how much stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot, doing everything quickly is a big challenge. That's one of the things that really got me into, a game like Super Meat Boy, is that to, unlock the Dark World stages, you would have to get the quick time.
Yeah.
And, especially when... When a game is able to tie unlocking more levels to play to getting a time trial, I will play those levels if your game's good.
Dude, I need to get back to Meat Boy and beat that game.
That's probably my favorite game outside of Picross 3D last year. And speaking of that, Mario's Picross is fucking awesome.
It's $15 on Amazon right now. I'll probably get it.
You guys, really, Mike and Scott, if you guys haven't played Picross 3D, get it immediately. It's like Mario's Picross.
But then
Picross
you'll have
DS,
to quit your jobs.
But amazing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we could talk about Picross a little bit, but what sets it apart from that? Why is it just the puzzles are more difficult, or are there added elements?
Okay. So there's the 2D grid-based Picross, which is what you guys are really into right now with Mario's Picross. And that's really cool. But in Picross 3D,
it's a block of blocks.
It's basically like a cube where you have the same, kind of block setup, where instead of just having, the X and Y axis, you also have the Z axis. So you rotate it by moving around the touchscreen, and the controls work very well, as you would assume by, a Nintendo-made game for the most part on their own system. And it all works really well, and what I find amazing about Picross 3D is that because instead of, marking an X on the block, when you want to get rid of one, you tap it, and it fucking explodes, and that's just such a good feeling.
And save a piece, you just color it in. That's really nice,
yeah,
too.
And I know, Mike, you were complaining about how, like, you wish, like, you could X something and
it
would just stay
that way.
In Picross 3D, that's what they do. And also, I think they do that in Picross DS, too.
Yeah, I don't like that, because I'll, like, it's really easy to, like, overshoot. Like, if you're drilling a whole row, it's really easy to, like, accidentally overshoot by one and lose some time for it. And I put the little X's on the squares so I know, yeah, this square is clear, like, I'm not going to chisel this. But then if you accidentally hit the chisel button, it just fucking chiseled it. Like, there's no point. The X is only visual. If it's got an X and I try and chisel it, it should get rid of the X. And then if I chisel it again, it should get rid of the block.
In all honesty, Picross, or Mario's Picross, like, there are some things wrong with it. Like, the other thing that I've noticed in other Picross games is that, like, if you have a row complete, or a row or column, like, the numbers will gray out, so you know it's done.
Oh, yeah. It
and
do
later
that,
Picross games do that, but in this one it doesn't.
Oh, yeah,
but, I mean, it
helpful.
Doesn't distract. It's just helpful. It doesn't distract from how much fun
it is. And I guess having never played any of the others, I'm not noticing that. Although, now that you've mentioned that feature, I'm just going to want it in this.
That's why you should just go buy Picross.
Yeah, I'll probably have to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's something like 350 puzzles on the cartridge, and I think
you
can
download
like 150 more.
Hey, I'm still in the middle of the mushroom course on Mario's Picross. Do they get any bigger than 15 by 15?
I don't know, because I know they had there was the beginner level, which I played one and then skipped.
Yeah,
it was like 10 by 10. Yeah,
I
have 10 by 10.
Yeah,
I
just finished the mushroom one, and I just got to the star one. I'm on like the second row of that, because that's what I did when I came home from work. We just played that game, but I don't think they get any bigger than that.
Okay, yeah, because I'm
10 by 10. No, that's the biggest.
Okay,
but as
those
far
are
as
really
Picross 3D
hard.
Goes, the game came out I guess not this May, but the May before.
It was
since
later
it
than
out,
that, I think.
No, it was May 2010.
Oh,
which game? Picross 3D?
Yeah.
That's only a year old?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Lauren has likely put in probably several days of her life into that game. It's basically the only game on DS she's played since it came out.
Damn. Has she beaten it yet?
Yes. She beat it probably a month and a half after she got it, but what she does is she just plays like random puzzles on it. Which is something you can do for this, and,
nice
like, she
thing.
Improves her time and makes sure she does it without mistakes.
After
and
you get through all the puzzles, you're like, well, I feel like playing a puzzle. Just do a random one, and it's like a whole new thing, because you forgot what
like,
it was.
I didn't think that would be as gripping, because we have, you know, we should have gotten 2 copies of the game, I guess, but we fought over it for the first month. And then eventually, you know, we both beat it, and then I just kind of conceded it to her. And I figured I'd try and I'd pick it up.
It's good practice for being a husband.
I could just hit the random puzzle and I could just get sucked into it right back again.
Hell yeah.
It's so much fun.
So good.
Yeah, I've been playing it I haven't played a game this feverishly in a long time. Like, I bring my DS to work because I have to walk a bit, and I get my counters for it. And then I hope in the back of my mind that maybe I will get a street pass.
Yeah, right.
Which has happened once. I guess someone brought their kid into my office. And my office is like on the other side of the wall from the main lobby, so it must have been close enough to pick it up.
Yeah, I always
But I've been squeezing this game in on my breaks. I'll take a break. And go take a 15-minute walk or something, and I'll squeeze it in, and I'll squeeze out, like, 2 puzzles on that break, and then I'll get back to work, and then a couple hours later, I'll take my other break, and then I'll do it again. Like, I never do that, ever, but this game is so good for short bursts like that, that I find myself, like, really looking forward to being able to squeeze one more puzzle in.
Right. No, it really is, like, a perfect handheld game. I told you guys in the email thread, but I specifically downloaded it just to have something that I could kind of, like, casually play while watching episodes of Doctor Who. And it has worked wonderfully so far.
Oh, God, I love Doctor Who.
But unless I get really into the puzzle where it's like I'm really trying to figure it out, then I find that I'm just missing things in Doctor Who and I gotta rewind. But for the most part, it works out really well. I was gonna say as a side note about street passes, I've only ever gotten 2, and I always try to bring my 3DS with me places where I know nerdy people will be. And my fiance just thinks I'm a creep who's stealing 10-year-old kids Mii's from their 3DS. But I took it to the mall one time and I got one there. And the last game the person had played was Nintendog, so I'm pretty sure that was a little kid. But then I took it to the midnight screening of Harry Potter and I got one there too. And this guy was bald, so I knew he was at least an adult.
I don't understand how you guys aren't getting street passes. I've gotten 31, and I live in Anchorage.
In Alaska? Fuck you.
Yeah, no, I've only gotten two. I gotta take it around more.
I've got one friend that whenever I see him, I tag him. And then if I happen to have it in my pocket and I go to Target, the demo unit, I tag the demo unit.
Oh, yeah.
But I've only ever gotten, I think, two street passes from, well, I guess three. One, I was at a local game shop and I tagged the employee, one of the employees there. But the, and then other than that, like actually walking on the street, like I got that one I got in my office when someone must have came in with one on the in the lobby. And then I got another one at the Chili's on campus.
Nice. And Chili's on campus, the guy, fucking sweet.
Yeah, we have our campus has incredibly nice dining options. It makes it really easy to pitch the school to kids. Yeah, so I took a lunch at Chili's and met up with one of my friends whose sister was here for orientation, and like I picked up one, and the me was like the nerdiest looking me I've ever seen. Like, it's like tall, skinny guy, black shirt, like lots of facial hair, like clearly unkempt. And game he had been playing recently, it was like a week after Ocarina came out, so of course he was playing that.
Nice.
That's what shows up on mine.
And I think he wanted to be a wizard. Because everybody says they want to be a wizard.
There you go. I haven't seen it personally, but I have a friend on Twitter, and he got a street pass. And the game the me had most recently played, or at least played the most, was the eShop. Literally said eShop. So I don't know if he just left the shop open for a while.
Well, it's the one that you most recently played. It's not the one.
Okay.
That you
played. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Well, yeah. They count the eShop.
Your favorite
apparently.
Game. Your favorite game is. Is what you put, and then your friends see.
Oh, okay.
Which for most people, at least when the system came out, were like all jokey, and we all set it to like health and safety information.
Yeah.
But yeah, Street Pass. Got to get more of those.
Yep. I think that's a newscast, guys.
I think so too. It's a good thing too, because I've had to poop so bad for the last.
And there's the stinger.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Stop crying.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.